Links Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Wednesday, the 30th of July. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome in to 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom on the way tonight. Over the past fiscal year, income tax brought in £21 million more than government expected, prompting calls for Treasury to return it to taxpayers. Meanwhile, 15 food products from the Isle of Man have been recognised in the Great Taste Awards, and FC Isle of Man were dealt a blow in their first away match of the season. All those stories and more coming up. Drop me a line if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166177, or you can email to studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's head over to Siobhan Fletcher, who has the latest headlines. First to my Siobhan.
First to my. A lobby group on the Isle of Man is calling on government to return the extra revenue received through income tax over the past financial year to residents. Michael Joseph is from the Manx Taxpayers Alliance, which has published a petition.
They don't need it for any specific purpose. And so our petition is saying that this money, this extra tax that they took, should be returned to the people it was taken from.
Well, Treasury Minister Alex Allanson says the additional £21.3 million will go back to the reserves.
So this extra revenue will actually be used to put money back into reserves to pay the bills, to bring us back into a much more even budgetary situation going forward into the following years.
A teenager charged with the murder of a 14-year-old boy has had his case committed to the higher court. The boy, who's also 14 years old and can't be named for legal reasons, appeared before magistrates at Douglas Courthouse this morning. The practising of driving manoeuvres is no longer permitted within the grounds of the Vehicle Test Centre. In a post on social media, the Department of Infrastructure confirmed the move comes due to a combination of factors. And Douglas City Council has rejected online criticism over the expanded seating area outside the island's first Wetherspoons pub. Concerns were voiced that the newly named Conister Arms had placed additional seating on Regent Street for use by customers, reducing access to Strand Street for pedestrians. Further afield, an air traffic control technical issue is affecting all outbound flights across the UK. Initially, it was reported the issue, which is now said to be resolved, was contained to Gatwick, but it now appears to be more widespread, with Manchester, Edinburgh and Birmingham, amongst airports, also reporting delays. Manx Radio has contacted the DOI regarding any impacts on arrivals into Ronald's Way. Palestine Action's been granted the right to challenge the government's decision to ban the group under terrorism laws, and the Lord Mayor of Birmingham says the city put on a fitting tribute to a legend as people gathered to pay their respects to Ozzy Osbourne. They're your headlines, news at 6.
Good morning, thank you very much for that, Siobhan. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Gloss and Glazing. Fairly cloudy this evening with a few showers or some drizzly outbreaks of rain over higher grounds. The light or moderate southwest wind will then turn to the north or northwest with minimum temperatures of around 13 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow though, some patchy light rain or drizzle still possible at first, but becoming mostly dry with bright sunny intervals developing into the afternoon as the moderate northwest wind starts to freshen. Top temperature of around 18 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
Hungry for something better at work? The Quirky Teapot Balasala creates bespoke corporate buffets and delivers straight to you. Serving the south of the Isle of Man with flavour and style. Call Abby and the team on 22 42 42 or visit the Quirky Teapot on Facebook.
Lost your keys? Got locked out? Get in with Kevin's Keys. Your fast, reliable locksmiths 24-7. Homes, cars and bikes. Kevin's Keys do it all. And why not get a spare set cut and chipped just in case? Call Kevin on 287 287.
Direct cremation is just that. An affordable and simple cremation without all the costs associated with a funeral service. Find out more by visiting directcremation.im or phone Direct Cremations on 478 422.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Well, it's approaching 5 minutes past five here on Manx Radio's update, and we'll start with, over the last financial year, income tax brought in £21.3 million, more than government expected. Now, a petition launched by the lobby group, Manx Taxpayers Alliance, is calling on the Treasury to return it. Michael Josom is the spokesperson for the group. He sat down with Chanel Suku.
Which would work out to be about £473 for every income taxpayer on the island. You know, if you have a couple, a family living in the Isle of Man, that could be up to £1,000 or just under. And so that could help a lot with rising energy bills, grocery costs, savings. And also, it can also be money to simply spend in our local economy, which has second and third order benefits as that money flows through local businesses. And so one of the things I think is really important here is that this is all for the financial year that's already over. And so the government took a whole lot of extra money, and it should just simply be refunded. And, you know, it doesn't make sense. It's not morally right for the government to hold on to this windfall surplus, which only arose because the government says due to higher interest rates. And so those higher interest rates, you know, might be good for the government's balances, but for many families with mortgages, it's not very good at all.
That was Michael Josom from the Manx Taxpayers Alliance speaking on behalf of the group about the petition calling for the Isle of Man government to return the extra £21.3 million worth of income tax it received over the past financial year. Well, since then, we've heard from the Treasury Minister himself. Alex Allinson says the additional funds from income tax is a result of economic growth and changes to the government sector, and that money will instead go back into reserves.
We already know that healthcare overspent by £15.3 million. So this extra revenue, whilst very welcome, will actually be used to put money back into reserves to pay the bills, to bring us back into a much more even budgetary situation going forward into the following years.
So in terms of that money going back into the reserves then, how will that be used in the future?
So what we've got is a medium-term financial plan. We know that for the last decade, we have been spending more money on services than we've been bringing in through revenue. But with the medium-term financial plan, the idea is to balance that out, to not draw down on reserves as much, to actually start building them up. And we've seen over the last couple of months that coming to fruition. Our reserves are now at £1.92 billion and invested very sensibly to grow that. We've also been working with all the various departments to bring them in budget. And in last year, was a tight budget as well. So the only departments that unfortunately overspent last year was health, and we've obviously gone for a supplementary bid for that. Going forward for this year, and we're already working on the budget for next year, we're looking at controlling public spending. We're also looking at the government headcount, and we've recently announced the reduction in the government headcount. This is all responsible long-term economic planning rather than short-term fixes and gimmicks.
Now, I know there's always a bit of variation between an estimate and how much it actually comes in on the tax receipts, but just why was it so different to what was estimated?
Yeah, I mean, when we set out in the 24-25 budget, there was a huge amount of uncertainty, and there still is. What we've seen is really economic growth on the Isle of Man. We've seen increases in wages, both in the public and private sector. We've seen increasing employment as well, and that's led to an increase in income tax, particularly in terms of personal tax.
That was the Treasury Minister Alex Allinson speaking to Sean Cowper earlier today on Manx Radio Breakfast. 8 minutes past five, and Garth Commissioners is holding a public meeting in August to find out what residents' views are on the Ørsted Mor Vanin offshore wind farm. The local authority says it will not be presenting its own view, but wants to hear the opinions shared before it votes on the matter. Our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper with more details.
The commissioners will be holding the meeting at the Laxey Working Men's Institute at 7 p.m. on Tuesday the 26th of August. Captain Stephen Carter, the captain of the parish of Lonnon, will chair the meeting, and it's anticipated that the two Garth MHKs and others will be in attendance. The local authority says the meeting is being held specifically to gather public opinion on Ørsted's proposal, which could have around 90 wind turbines positioned 6 to 12 nautical miles off the island's east coast, extending from approximately Mackled Head to Douglas Bay. Ørsted's latest consultation reports from March 2025 shows that the turbines could reach up to 350 metres in height, with a maximum blade length of 148 metres. The local authority says all are welcome to attend and contribute to the discussion, but it would like to hear what the potential visual and environmental impacts may have on residents in Garth. It hopes feedback from the meeting will help inform and assist them in their discussions with Ørsted and the government when the final proposals for the scheme are being considered. The commissioners add that there will be a wide range of views on the proposals and would welcome comment from all spectrums of opinion at the meeting. The board also agreed not to hold a vote on the project until it has fully canvassed public opinion and seen the final plans. A meeting was requested with the Chief Minister, departmental members and senior political staff, but was declined. However, the commissioners say Mr. Cannon did advise that the planning application would be submitted to the Department of Infrastructure, and it's likely that it would be referred to the Council of Ministers. Once accepted by Comin, those who express an interest will be asked to register as interested parties. The local authority says the Chief Minister stressed there will be a full and open public consultation once the process has begun, and an examining body will be set up by Comin to conduct an investigation and examination of the proposals. The body will then make its recommendation to Comin, which will make the final decision on the matter. The local authority says it will accept written comments ahead of the meeting.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Practicing driving manoeuvres is no longer permitted within the grounds of the Vehicle Test Centre. The change was introduced today with immediate effect, as Siobhan Fletcher reports.
In a post on social media today, the Department of Infrastructure confirmed the move comes due to a combination of factors. These include a significant increase in both staff and customer vehicles on site, ongoing live tests across all categories, and scheduled vehicle examinations. It says the presence of driving practice taking place in both public and staff parking areas is disrupting daily operations and potentially poses a risk to safety. Practicing is therefore no longer allowed on the site during the hours of 9am to 5:30pm, Monday to Friday. This applies to drivers under private and professional instruction. Highway Services has thanked people for their understanding and cooperation.
What do you think of that? Does that affect you? Does that affect someone that you know is learning? If you are learning, where will you now go to practice? Because parallel parking is not easy. It's always good to have somewhere that you can park and try and test all these things out in a kind of a relaxed environment. If you do want to comment on that, 166177, email to studio@manxradio.com. 12 minutes past five, a Peel commissioner believes one of the local authority's main jobs is to support the high street and improve footfall to the town. Following a meeting held with 22 business owners, Katrina Baptiste says a plan has been drawn up to improve Michael Street. That includes new signage, introducing art boards and tidying up the area. Ms. Baptiste says in the long term, the board is also looking at improving the parking, which she believes will be a challenge due to the nature of Peel.
The commissioners are there to serve the ratepayers, both in terms of residents and businesses. So we want them to input to the events and to help us make Peel a really attractive place to visit and come to. So we did have three outcomes from the meeting. Some of them are short term, some of them are long term. The first one that we identified was to improve the signage around Peel, especially where we get high levels of tourist traffic, to help them navigate and find their way around the town, and thinking about places like where the coach drops off, just really simple things. So there's a map there and they know where to go to get a cup of coffee or to find the tourist information or the toilets, whatever they might need to find. The second thing that we found was a more long-term issue, and that was to improve the parking in the town. Obviously, Peel is a fishing village, so it's always going to be a challenge, but we are already working on that. We've got a student over the summer collecting data, going round the car parks with a clipboard and a high-vis vest on. So we've got some data, and then once we've got all of that data, we can take it to the Department of Infrastructure and hopefully come up with some solutions to help improve the parking situation. And the third thing was just a general tidy up of the town. So some quick wins that we've identified straight away are to buy some flowers and some hanging baskets for Michael Street, to do a deep clean the area and make it look fresh for the summer. And we're going to be putting some bunting up. And then we're also looking at some longer term things and buying some new equipment for the high street. So they were the three main things that we've got to work on.
That was Peel Commissioner Katrina Baptiste speaking about how the local authority will be supporting the businesses on Michael Street. Let's take a look at the travel now.
Manx Radio Travel. driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, there's a few things to be aware of. The first thing, the section of the mountain road from the Craignabar to Brandywell will close again at 6:30 until 9 for drainage works near the 32nd milestone. Ramsey to Brandywell stays open, and for the rest of the week, the closures are as follows. Thursday and Friday, Ramsey to the bungalow at 9 till 5, and access by the Thalty Will and Benefot, Victory Cafe, Snaefell and Craignabar Hotel remains open throughout. Elsewhere on the roads in Douglas, temporary the traffic light system at St Ninian's Crossroads is being replaced, so there are temporary lights replacing the main roads and all filter lanes are out of operation. Also, temporary lights on Woodbourne Road for bus stop improvement works, and a short stretch of Finch Road is closed for sewer work. There's also temporary lights on the Ballamoda south of the shoulder road for tree works. In Ballasalla, temporary lights on the St Mark's Road near the Fildraw Road turn. And in Sulby, temporary lights at the bottom end of Sulby Glen Road. And also in Ramsey, temporary lights on the Bowring Road. Over at the airport, let's just take a quick look at that, because you may be aware there are a number of UK flights which have been hit with air traffic control issues. So currently on the Runway website, things are all running to time for the most part. And I'm also told that it's understood that Runway Airport isn't expecting any major delays following the air traffic control issues in the UK. But passengers are being told to keep up to date with the latest flight information, either via the airport or their airline. Over at the Steam Packet, everything looking to time over there, nothing out of the ordinary.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Well, it's 16 minutes past five now, and 15 food products from the Isle of Man have received awards from the Guild of Fine Food. Lewis Foster joins me now. Fastamai, Lewis, what's all this about then?
Yeah, Fastamai. So each year we hear about this competition, with the results announced around about this time at the end of July. We're talking about the Great Taste Awards. You may spot the black and gold emblem on certain products in the supermarket. It's been around for more than 30 years, and they say it's one of the most influential food and drink accreditation schemes in the world for how robust and complex the review process is.
So just tell us about the Isle of Man winners this year.
So there were 34 products from the Isle of Man submitted, of which, like you say, 15 received an accolade. 10 of those received a one-star award, 4 received two-star awards, and there was one winner of the top prize, the three-star award, and that was the Manx Lockton Chorizo from Ballacosnahan Farm, which won a three-star award last year as well. Among the two-star winners was the Furikake Seasoning from Isle of Man Salt Co. and Rum Baba Tipsy Fudge from Chocky Picky was one of the 10 to receive a one-star award. And it's fair to say the Isle of Man does well each year at the Great Taste Awards. Last year, Manx producers brought home 20.
Rum Baba Tipsy Fudge, that sounds that's quite
up your street.
Interesting. You said the process was quite complex. What actually goes into it?
Well, for example, the judging panel consists of over 500 experts, and that includes chefs, critics, retailers, food writers and other specialists who obviously pore over each product over the course of, they say, 110 days. And every entry is judged on its own merit as a standalone product and tasted completely blind. So there's no packaging, no hint of who's made it, just a factual description provided by the producer as guidance. And the judges consider flavour first and foremost, then things like appearance, aroma, texture, and I like this word, mouthfeel.
Mouthfeel, very good. So for the island to win 15 awards out of the 34 submitted, that's actually quite something.
Absolutely, especially when you consider that this year they say they saw a record number of entries. There were 14,340 products submitted from 110 countries worldwide. Less than 40% walked away with an award. And Christian, of course, you'll be able to find the full list of winners from the Isle of Man online.
Thanks very much, Lewis. That sounds very yummy. I'm starting to get a bit peckish. Perhaps you'd like to nip back in a moment with a croissant for
me. Absolutely, yeah. Be right back. back.
If you don't ask, you don't get.
Your name's not down, you're not coming.
Make Floor Fillers the soundtrack to your Saturday night with me, Chris Quirk. Relive the best nights of your life with dance anthems from the 90s onwards. We'll also be firing up the decks in the studio and going in the mix for 20 minutes of uninterrupted anthems. Whether you're dressed to impress for a night out or vibing at home with friends, Floor Fillers brings you the energy to kickstart your Saturday night from 8 on Manx Radio.
Thanks very much for that, Chris. Definitely check him out on Saturday if you're around and about. All right, 19 minutes past five. Selling government buildings no longer in use is expected to generate just over £2 million in 2025. With more details is Sean Cowper.
Government's efficiencies programme says it's working to complete disposals from the Department of Home Affairs and Department of Health and Social Care, in addition to one disposal which has already been completed. It's expected the process will generate around £2.1 million. Minister without portfolio Tim Cruckle confirmed in a Timwald written answer that the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture has also identified a number of properties which may become available. Meanwhile, the DHSC will be reviewing the strategic need for two other currently vacant properties, although Minister Cruckle says it wouldn't be appropriate to provide a list of the properties being considered for disposal at this time. The details have been published in response to a question from Onken MHK Julie Edge. Reacting to the answer on social media, she's questioned why the sale of these properties wasn't openly advertised. She says this isn't just about buildings, it's about trust, transparency and responsible financial management and governance of your, the public's, assets. Ms Edge says she'll continue to press for a full list.
Sean Cowper with that report there. Thank you very much. Now, natural solutions can help us create places to live that are better for us mentally and physically. That's from the recently appointed chief executive at the Manx Wildlife Trust, Graham Makepeace-Warne. Although still fairly new in his role at the helm of the charity, Graham has been with the trust for 7 years. He's been telling Simon Clark about some of the big topics on his agenda.
Historically, you know, farmers are the custodians of the countryside, and it's not about one or the other, whether that's, you know, development, people need, you know, places to live, or farming, we need food. It's just about doing things in a way that is sensitive to our wildlife, and also using natural solutions. You know, natural solutions can really help us create more food or create places to live that are better for us both physically and mentally.
The Isle of Man, it's not that big in comparison to a lot of places, but it seems to have a lot to offer for people involved in nature and walking and, you know, just having a good stroll in the countryside, looking at some plants and birds and wildlife.
Well, I chose to move here 7.5 years ago, so I would agree with you on that completely, but really, it's two things for me in the Isle of Man. One is it's got lots of open green space and lots of countryside. That's important. But two, it is often called a microcosm of the UK. So in terms of habitats and geology, it's got all the same stuff as the UK, but it's condensed down to an island that you can travel around in a day. So, you know, you can wake up in the morning, you can go to the beach, and then you can go up a mountain in the afternoon. That's, you know, it's not a problem here. So that's a great draw for me.
Obviously, one of the things as well, you said you've been here a few years now, and I suppose it's got a lot of area to cover on the Isle of Man, different areas. Always bring up surprises for you?
Absolutely. So just last week, we've had 19 lichenologists over from the British Lichen Society, recording lichens and other species for us on our reserves and elsewhere. They've recorded lots of new species for the island and pointed out some quite interesting bits of our reserves that we weren't aware of. So yeah, nature never stops surprising you. There are some really unique habitats and places in the Isle of Man.
That's Graham Makepeace-Warne, the new chief exec at Manx Wildlife Trust. And you can hear more from him in the latest episode of Manx Radio's Countryside programme, available now as a podcast over at manxradio.com. Right, sport is on the way for you now.
This Sunday, it's a special edition of Manx Radio's Chill Out Show live from Meta Lounge in Peel. Join us between 7 and 9 p.m. for laid-back summer vibes, drinks with a view and great food available. All served up at this relaxed beach cafe at the far end of the prom. Sink into the sounds, enjoy the sunset and let the weekend fade out in perfect style. The Manx Radio Chill Out Show on Sunday the 3rd of August from 7 p.m. at Meta Lounge in Peel, where the vibe meets the tide.
Flocking
to the sea. Check Meta Lounge on Facebook for more. Crowds of people wait
for me. Thanks very much, Chris. Well, let's turn to our attention now to sport, because FC Isle of Man left Merseyside disappointed after a 2-0 loss to St Helens in their first away game of the season. Speaking to the club's YouTube channel, Ravens boss Paul Jones was asked what his side can do to pick themselves back up.
A bit of consistency, a bit more belief, like lots of repetitions and exposure to doing it, you know, like we're going to have to work a lot on it in training over the next 10 days. And just the chaos of a game at our level of football. You know, the teams we played pre-season have really like clear structures and they know what they're doing and there's lots of patterns and, you know, it's not quite that structured when we play. And we've not really had the opportunity to prepare the lads for what they're really going to face in the league game, and we've got to learn really, really quickly and get up to speed really, really quickly. And you know, tonight we got a little bit of a lesson in terms of not quite being at our levels, either mentally or physically, to cope with what St Helens did. And they had some really good players that caused us some problems, and we took too long really as a group, myself included, to figure things out.
Just finally, the results tonight wasn't in our favour, but we did have good away fan support as ever, especially, you know, given that, like you said, the first away game of the season, just really a minute for the fans.
Yeah, it's brilliant to see so many of them here. Lots of familiar faces from the last few seasons as well, so it's lovely to see them. It's a shame that they didn't get a better result from us. You know, there were some really good passages of play, but wasn't consistent enough. But we really thank their support, and, you know, they'd be right to be a bit peed off with us tonight at times, but they were fantastic all the way through and at the final whistle. So we're really grateful to them and look forward to seeing more of them on our travels over the weeks and months ahead.
Ravens boss Paul Jones speaking to the club's YouTube channel there. Hello to 667, who's been on in relation to the Great Taste Awards. He says, with regards to mouthfeel, must be why my girlfriend likes eating Snickers bars. I'm not entirely sure whether that's rude or not, or if I've just got myself suspended from the station. But if I'm on tomorrow, then you'll know what the answer to that is. let's move away from that. We'll say hi to Darren Timpson now. Fastamai.
Fastamai, Christian. Starting with football. And with exactly a month to go until the new Manx Football League season gets underway, the Isle of Man FA has announced the fixture and cup schedules. The new season will get underway on the 22nd of August with the Charity Shield fixture between Peel and Ayr, with a 7 p.m. kickoff at the Ball. Whilst the Canada Life Men's Premier League, Arden and Drogon Division 2, Canada Life Combination 1 and Arden and Drogon Combination 2 will begin 8 days later. Premier League champions Peel will then start their title defence against Ramsey on the opening weekend of the new season at Ballaclone on August 30th. Elsewhere in the First Division, Corinthians play Union Mills, St John's face Laxey, Ayr take on Foxdale, Rushen play Braddon and St Mary's face Old Boys. In the Arden and Drogon Division 2, Jims take on Maloo, Douglas Athletic versus Michael United, St George's play Douglas Royal, Paul Rose face Douglas and District, Castletown versus Governors Athletic and Colby play Rycobb. You can see all the opening day fixtures and cup details on manxradio.com. On to cycling, and Ben Swift's race at the Ethias Tour de Wallonie came to an end today. After five stages, Swift's best result of the event came today as he produced a brilliant performance to finish ninth in Beatrix. The island resident's placing in the general classification is still being confirmed, but he started the day in 65th. He'll next be in action on Saturday 2nd of August as he takes part in the Donostia San Sebastian Classicoa on a one-day race. And there's cricket on tonight. Midweek Premier League leaders Peel take on third place Crosby at 6 p.m. in Moran. Meanwhile, Vikas play Finch Hill at King William's College. Peel can win the title tonight as they're currently 4 points clear of Crosby and Cronkbourne, with a game in hand on the latter, with two fixtures left after tonight.
Fabulous. Thank you very much for that, Darren. That's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. Up next, Howells will have Spotlight. That's followed by Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Potentially. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.